I looked at the lesson title given to us in our lesson booklet, and it said, A Nation on the Move. A nation? This little group of people? These Jews that have been down in Egypt, a nation? Well, there's a couple of million of them, and yes, they're about to become a nation. And they're ready to get moving from Egypt to that very special place that God had promised them through their father Abraham. Now, as I read this over, and I read it over, and I read it over, one thing became very important to me about their instructions to the road. Worship. This is the most important teaching in this preparation for their journey. I mean, it just came to me over and over again how important worship was for the journey. And I come back to the old line that I use over and over and over again. All of this actually happened, but it happened as admonition and example for you and for me. It's for us. So let's take this very personally as we read through it, remembering that most of what we seem to be seeing here are instructions for worship. And I want to go aside before the throne of grace before we plunge into the deep, sweet well of God's Word. Our Father and our God, we're just so unworthy to even meditate upon these glorious truths, and yet they're for us. May they be received with hearts that have been properly prepared by the Holy Spirit of God, moving upon us and within us and breathing on us, that we may appreciate these delicious morsels from your divine orchard. Teach us, help us, lift us up, give us the joy of our salvation, and may we radiate that joy to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was 12 years old, I couldn't wait to join the Boy Scouts. My good friends were in the Boy Scouts, who were a little older than I was, and when I became 12, I wanted to be a scout too. And almost immediately, come summertime, our troop, Troop 45, went to Camp Cherokee. And I, being 12 years of age and kind of a home guy, had never ever been away from home before. And my mom must have made the most elaborate preparations that you could even imagine for, because the boy was going away. He's going to be away a whole week. And so she must have prepared a whole month for that, of getting things together and making notes of things to instruct me in, and a whole week away from home, first time I'd ever been away. All the rest of the kids just had these little knapsacks, I guess they call them. But no, Mom had packed for me this great big old suitcase. And with all these things in it. And you're going to church Sunday morning and you got to have something special to wear for church. No, Mom, all the guys just wear their Levi's. No. You're going to church, you got to have something special for church. And finally, when the big moment came and the scoutmaster pulled up to our house to pick me up in his 1937 immaculate Plymouth, Mom still wasn't through. She walked me to the car, giving me further instructions all along the way. And so all the other fellows were smiling, some chuckling a little bit to my great embarrassment. But Mom kept giving instructions. She just had to keep going, and finally, as the 37 Plymouth chugged away, she's still saying, "And don't forget, wear your good clothes to church." Yes, Mom, yes, Mom. She cared. She knew her boy was going away, and he'd never been away before. After all, Camp Cherokee was at least 8 or 10 miles away from home. So we got to make sure that you're okay for the road and you're okay when you get there. She cared. She cared. Especially about that time at the end of the week when we'd all go to church, and she wanted to make sure that her boy looked well. And there he sat in his spanking church clothes when all the other guys had on their ragged Levi's. I appreciate that because she cared. She cared. I read this over and over again, and I see a God who cares about his people, and he wants to make provision for his people. Keep that in mind as we read through, especially about the worship. That came through to me so very strong. 12:43, the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall be no stranger eat thereof. I want us to take this personally now. I mean, we're talking about something that is very important to these people. God is giving his children instructions for the road, teaching for the trip. And the first thing he starts with is the Passover. No stranger shall eat thereof. The Passover is for the family. And only for the family. But since it's for that exclusive group known of people known to be in the family, that's almost like a command performance. Hang in there with me. You may not like a lot of things I'm saying. Let me tell you something. I don't like a lot of things I'm saying. But as I read this over and over again this past week, I saw just how important worship is for those of us on our pilgrim journey. It's only for those in the family. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he can eat thereof. How does that apply? That means that only those in the circumcision. Well, only Jews were circumcised. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Those who wanted to be in the Jewish family were circumcised. How does that apply to us? Very simply this. You and I, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, are circumcised of our heart. And it is only those who are circumcised of the heart that worship. They may do something they call worship, may even burn incense and flash strobe lights and dance and prance and call that worship, but only those who are circumcised of the heart are allowed to worship. A foreigner, verse 45, and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. Sounds rather narrow-minded, doesn't it? Yes, it does. And I've always believed this, but it's never been driven home so forcefully as it has this past week as I've looked over these scriptures. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Why is that? Keep it in the family. If you take it outside, it's possible somebody else is going to partake of that lamb. And that is a no-no. And there's one other thing. That which is not eaten must be disposed of in a very precise, prescribed manner. It's burned. Not a chance anybody outside the family can share in the consumption of the Passover lamb. And this is such a precious, precious thought. At the end of verse 46, neither shall you break a bone thereof. Well, what's the big deal about that, Lord? I mean, after all, this is only an animal. And the big deal is, it is a picture. It is a type. And it was drilled in my mind from my earliest days of Bible study with godly brethren. God jealously guards the type. No bone shall be broken. No bone was broken of our. You're my Passover lamb. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Now we've been saying who shouldn't keep it. Now we are saying shall. Now let me read that again. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Does that sound like a command performance? Absolutely. When a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. He's got to come into the family to participate in the feast of the family. Then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. There's one law, and it's for everybody. Thus did all the children of Israel, and the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass in the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. In other words, that is a very orderly progression out of the land of Egypt. Now, we sometimes miss just what a grand event this was. We're talking of a couple of million people here, folks. I mean, that is bigger, double the size of the population of metropolitan Richmond, the entire metropolitan area. So this was all done decently and in order. And as I think I said last week, the logistics alone would stagger the guys in the Pentagon. Well, I guarantee it would stagger the guys in the Pentagon. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. The firstborn, because of the application of the blood, all of the firstborn were passed over. The death angel took those that were not protected by the application of the blood in the prescribed manner by the Lord. So this is something we remember also. Now, again, I want you to take it personally. You and I have been circumcised of heart, and our firstborn, the Adamic nature, has been passed over. It has been redeemed. Our firstborn has been covered by the blood. Is that okay? It's not okay. Say then what is okay. Well, my Adamic nature, I'm glad to hear it's been destroyed. I never thought that, but however, we'll agree to disagree on that. My firstborn is still with me. I mean, my Adamic nature is still there. I wish it weren't. I wish I could say that I am dealing with you in perfection this morning. Obviously, I'm not. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast. Now, there's an example given over here that I think is kind of interesting. Every firstling of an ass shalt thou redeem with a lamb. The firstborn, firstling of an ass shalt thou redeem with a lamb, and if thou shalt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. It has to be redeemed, but if you don't redeem it, break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. Now, if you don't redeem it, break his neck. I think that's kind of interesting. You don't sacrifice that animal, you break his neck, because his blood is not shed. Don't even take a chance with that. If you do not redeem it and break his neck, you don't sacrifice him, because he's an unclean animal. There's one of the old writers who said, the ass is equated with the natural man. And he seems to find a little glee in that. The ass is related to the natural man. And he must be redeemed. And if he isn't redeemed, don't shed his blood, break his neck. Well, back over to the worship. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread eaten. This day came you out in the month of Abib. And it shall be that when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers, to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, and thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Now, this is something that really condemned me. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee, neither shall be leaven seen with thee in all of thy quarters. Do you understand what this is saying? Let me read that again. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day there shall be a feast. You prepare for the feast for 7 days by eating no unleavened bread. Leaven being a type of evil, you keep it out of your life for that 7 days, and then you eat the Passover, a feast to the Lord. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. I see the Lord's Supper as our feast to the Lord. How can it be a feast? It's only a loaf of bread and several containers of wine. That's all it is. That really is all it is, and yet it projects a picture of the body of the Lord Jesus broken and the blood of the Lord Jesus shed. When we come into that meeting, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for 7 days and then the feast. 7 days of no leavening in our lives, and then the feast. That is a part of our preparation for the worship service. That's one of the things that condemned me. I don't prepare for this for 7 days. I might take a few minutes the day before the worship and look over some hymns, look over some scriptures, and maybe on the morning of the service. But that's, you know something, that's not what he is saying here. Our lives need to be purged on a daily basis before we come into his presence in an attitude of worship. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came out of Egypt. Now watch this. It shall be a sign unto thee upon thy hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. With a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign. What shall be for a sign? Feast. The feast. When I come out of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, when you come out of the meeting of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, there's been a change. That's what's being said here. It should show. It should show in what you do, that your hands and on your eyes, that's the desire of the soul. Your desires, my desires, my work has been changed by the presence of the Lord as we are gathered as saints of God to worship him. It shall be a sign unto thee. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be in the Lord, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaan, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it unto thee. And thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, every firstling that cometh, a beast which thou hast, and the male shall be the Lord. And every firstling of an ass shalt thou redeem with a lamb. And thou wilt not redeem it when thou shalt break, and then thou shalt break his neck. And all of the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be that when thy son asketh thee in time to come, what is this? Thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand, for frontlets between thine eyes, and by strength of hand the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, or they will return to Egypt. The Lord's not taking a chance in his preparations. He didn't let them see all of the Philistines in that preparation for war, that they would be frightened and say, no, Lord, we don't want this. We turn around and go back. But there are many things along the way that frighten us, you know. Our pilgrim journey was never promised that it would be a bed of roses. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed, that is, by ranks, out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Ephraim at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and led them the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Listen, you know, you think of a couple of million people on the move, that had to be one gigantic pillar, one gigantic cloud. But God's provision is sufficient, and the cloud covered them, gave them protection of the burning sun by day, and gave them light in their journey into the night. Now, this is just something personal on my part. This cloud is a symbol of the presence of God with his people, watching over his people, protecting his people, guiding his people. You and I have the Spirit of God, that same Spirit of God that dwelt within us to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. It is the same Spirit of God. It is the same presence of God, I believe. This mighty power of God was always present with his people in every step of the journey. So in part of the preparation for the journey, a part of the teaching for the trip, is that God is always going to be with you. Now, as I walk on my pilgrim journey, I sometimes forget that. Maybe you do. I don't know. But when hard times come our way, we sometimes forget that we have an immediate access that we can immediately turn to for assistance. He has prepared us for the way if we listen to his voice. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, and between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it you shall encamp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, oh, goody, goody, goody. They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. God is going to receive glory. The more problem it is for you, God will receive glory out of this. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? This is going to upset the entire economy of the nation of Egypt. We have all this free slave labor. Why should we let them go? So Pharaoh then made ready his chariot. See, he had a Rolls-Royce chariot. And he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots. I guess they would be the Cadillacs. And all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. Now, like when you used to watch read the old stories or see the old movies when the villain has put the innocent victim there on the railroad tracks, and there is the victim on the railroad tracks, and the train is chugging on down, and that's where it ends, and you've got to come next week to see how it works out. That is what we're going to do here. There the children of Israel, with all of the Cadillac and the Rolls Royce and all the Chevy chariots that are chasing after them, what is going to happen? Well, you've got to come next week to find out. But that's where we will leave them today. I want to come back again, though, to what I see in the scriptures that have been assigned to us for our lesson. And that is just how important worship is in your life and in my life. God's people were unique. May I say this with all humility? We're unique. We are unique. And the thing that describes an assembly is the worship. That's what I am seeing is being said to us here. It may sound like an exclusivity or something, but no unsaved person partakes of the Lord's Supper. No one joins in that fellowship by partaking of that bread, which is symbolic of his body broken, and the wine symbolic of his blood shed for your sin and my sin. It is who we are. And I think when the Lord speaks to us about this meeting, we listen. And I close with this question. If it is that important, why isn't there standing room only? Our Father, we thank you for your word. And we praise you for your word. And even though we are condemned, convicted when we read your word about things that we should be doing and attitudes we should have and shouldn't have, all we can say is we want to glorify the Lord Jesus. And when we leave the worship service, we hope that the mark will be on our hand, what we do, on our eyes, what we see and what we desire. It should be a life-changing experience. And may that be so. And in meetings such as this one, when we come apart to plunge into your word, we ask especially that you would open our hearts. Let us receive. Teach us. teachers for the trip, because we are on a pilgrim journey. A very important part of which is our worship. A very important part of which is our testimony. And may it always be fresh and exciting to us as we walk the walk on our Christian journey. Thank you for our salvation in the Lord Jesus, that we have believed in His death and His burial and His resurrection. And now would you lift us up and glorify the Lord Jesus through our lives. In His name we pray, and for His sake, amen.